The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, is brought to you by, well, of course, you. If you want to learn more about how you can support the show, go to patreon.com/thearena_podcast.
Hit it!
That's what I'm talking about!
Wait!
Okay now, from the beginning.
Hit it, boys.
Hey everyone, welcome into The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. This is episode 55. I'm your host, Expat, along with my co-host, Burly of Burlyman Gaming on Twitch. Burly, how you doing, man?
Doing great, man. How are you, Expat?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Just last week was a short work week for me because we had a couple of public holidays out here in Japan. One was Respect for the Aged. On Thursday was the first day of fall. So we had public holidays out here. So got to relax a little bit. Do you have those holidays in Canada?
No.
No.
No, we do not. But for me, it was a short week. I took off yesterday for vacation day. So
cool. And the weather's starting to get a little bit cooler at night. So it's getting a little bit under 20 degrees now. It's like 17, I think, now.
Nice.
So, yeah, out there in America, where you go by Fahrenheit, it's about maybe 66, 67 degrees Fahrenheit right now. So, yeah, it's getting cooler out here. So how about out there in the Great White North?
It's getting cooler. It's about 16 degrees right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yesterday it was a nice little drop. Because I remember when I went out yesterday, I had to go to the dentist, so I had to go walk out in the morning. Mm-hmm. I took an appointment like first thing in the morning. And I was like, oh, because I've been used to the last couple mornings going out for morning walks and being like, okay, this is warm still. This morning was like, yesterday it was like, whoa, this is cool.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm not fully ready for this, but bring it on.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, and our other co-host, Turnbase Carl, he's off this week. He'll be back with us next week. So, in this episode, we're going to go over, of course, the U.S. government now investigating Activision Blizzard, the Security and Exchange Commission. They're investigating them now, and Bobby Kotick has been subpoenaed, as well as Overwatch 2 executive producer Chaco Sonny is leaving Blizzard. That's coming up, as well as we're going to be talking about the Perfect Dark reboot. Crystal Dynamics, who is responsible for the Tomb Raider reboot, they're going to be helping the initiative on that. So we're going to be looking at that as well. Everything that was announced at the Nintendo Direct that was just the other day, we're going to be discussing those things as well. And finally, we'll be talking about the new game releases for the week of September 27th through October 3rd. Man, Burly, it's almost October already, man.
Can't believe that. Yeah, where has this year gone?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's really crazy. So anyway, we're going to be discussing the games that we've been playing. Of course, the topic of the show this week is the late September trifecta. We're going to be talking about Deathloop, Kena, Bridge of Spirits, as well as Lost Judgment that just came out. So, but first, before we get into some of the other games that we played this past week, here's a word about where you can find the podcast.
Before the crew discuss what they have been playing, this episode of The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, and the post show will be going to Patreon in early access for one day after recording. So if you would like to support the show and become a patron at the entry tier 1 level at $1 per month, and get early access to every episode and post-show, as well as listen ad-free, please visit patreon.com/thearena_podcast for further details. Weekly on Sundays, the podcast will be uploaded to all free podcast services. weekly on Wednesdays for the post show, where you can find us on any podcast app for iOS or Android, Spotify, Amazon Music, and on Expat's YouTube channels, Expat YouTube Gaming, and The Arena Citadel. Just download your favorite podcast app or open Spotify and search for The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. Subscribe, follow us, post a review, and leave us questions, comments, and feedback if you like, if that feature is available there, and spread the word about the podcast. We also have a Discord called The Arena Podcast, where you can join and chat with The Arena Podcast community, and the podcast website is at thearenapodcast.podbean.com, where you can follow us and leave questions and comments as well. Finally, you can also follow us on Twitter at The Arena, A-M-P-G-N-P, as well as on Instagram at @TheArena_podcast. Now, back to the show.
Okay, Burley, let me tell you about Song of Iron. I was playing that on an Xbox Series X. I finished that up. It's a cute little, you know, side-scrolling adventure, 2D adventure. You know, the caves, the forest areas are very beautiful. And then, of course, you go up into the mountains. Another one of these Viking-style games where you're getting revenge from your village that was completely destroyed. The thing I had a problem with this in this game was the climbing. The climbing was literally impossible in some areas. It almost took like 20 to 30 minutes just to climb a wall. You're supposed to press A, just, you know, keep clicking A, and then you can get up to the top of the mountain or top of the hill, wherever you're going. But it just, you just keep falling down. And yeah, it was getting really frustrating. Finally, I was able to get to the very top. But it took a lot of effort and a long time just to make it up a particular mountain or hill. It was very frustrating. And then I, of course, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but the ending was really strange. You know, in the game, you have to fight Thor because, of course, Thor is in every Viking Age game that ever came out. Right. So you have to fight Thor. As the game gets to the end, it gets really bizarre. I mean, it's just, the ending is really strange. I'll leave it at that. But, you know, it's a mediocre game. It's only $19, $19. So, yeah, it was fun to play. But, you know, I'm kind of glad it's over. So that was Song of Iron. What about you, Burley? What have you been playing?
You make such a compelling review there. I'll wait for Game Pass on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Please wait for Game Pass. If it comes out on Game Pass, which it probably will pretty soon. I don't know about soon, but it'll probably be making its way there at some point. But how about you, Burley? What have you been playing, man?
I've been playing Mario Rabbids Battle Kingdom. I finally finished that this week.
Mm-hmm.
That game gets hard. Oh, yeah. No. Especially during some of those later fights, you've got like, there quite a few of those later fights, especially the last boss. I had to restart the battle numerous amount of times.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Because once they take out my main healer, you're just screwed.
Wow.
But I eventually persevered and won.
Okay. How long of a game is that? I mean, time-wise,
it took me about 18 to 19 hours.
Wow.
And I picked it up very cheap on a sale for $10. I enjoyed it. I can easily recommend it for anyone that likes your, because it's kind of like Fire Emblem. In terms of combat, it is a, like, combat's very fun. The story's okay. It's a generic, you're not playing the game for the story. Let's just say
but
everything's good. The sequel, it does have me a little interested for the sequel, but I don't think I'll pick the sequel up right away when it comes out.
Okay. Yeah. When it came to Song of Iron, it was like maybe eight hours to finish it. It's pretty short. Oh, okay. So yeah, it's quite short. Well, I mean, with all the climbing difficulties in the game, probably took longer. Yeah, probably, you know, probably wouldn't take you 8 hours. Probably take you about 6 to 7, but with all the climbing difficulty in it. It's probably
two,
the worst.
2.5 hours of climbing.
Worst game I've ever played when it came to climbing. I mean, it's just, I think it's a glitch that they really need to fix in that game. So, I mean, you know, like I said, it's a pretty game, and the ending is bonkers, but, climbing, man, that's, yeah, it'd give you, finger blisters.
Oh, wow.
Especially on your thumb, man, blisters on your thumb for that one, man. Just spamming A, you know, but, okay, let's go ahead and get into the weekly news beat. So, first story. Now the U.S. government, Burley, is getting involved with Activision Blizzard. So, U.S. government now investigating Activision Blizzard. Bobby Kotick subpoenaed. The Securities and Exchange Commission has launched an investigation into the publisher's handling of harassment and abuse allegations. This comes from Zach Zweezen over at Kotaku. I'm going to read some of this for you now. So, U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has reportedly launched a wide-reaching investigation into Activision Blizzard, with the government agency looking into how the embattled publisher handled the multiple allegations of sexual harassment, abuse, and toxic behavior that became public following a California Department of Fair Employment and Housing lawsuit filed in July. The SEC has subpoenaed Activision and several of its high-ranking execs, including CEO Bobby Kotick. In a report out by the Wall Street Journal, it was revealed that the SEC had begun investigating Activision Blizzard, and it is asking for the Call of Duty and Warcraft publisher to hand over various documents. These include the personnel files of 6 previous employees and records of CEO Kotick's communications with executives relating to the numerous complaints of sexual harassment and discrimination levied against Activision Blizzard staff. I'm going to leave it there. So, and also in the news as well was the Overwatch 2 executive producer Chuck O'Sunny leaving Blizzard. So just as this news as the SEC is investigating now, he decides to leave. And of course, we don't know if that had anything to do with it, but his leaving right after this news came out about the SEC investigation. It's kind of interesting. But Burley, what do you think? Is this going to be the final nail in the coffin of Bobby Kotick when it comes to Activision Blizzard?
I hope so. And I really do hope so. The guy's a piece of shit. Like, he gets his bonuses of like $200 million a year when they're doing record profits and lets go 800 people in the year. Like, it's insane. It's like, for those 800 people, you could have kept them and kept like 100 and something million of your bonus, but you're greedy, so you want more. Like, I'm hoping this is just more agencies keep investigating them. And like, they hired a special law firm. This was a few weeks ago. I think we covered it. Just that's known for union busting and trying to get people not to say stuff. So I'm hoping this all comes back and just bites them in the ass.
Yeah.
On this.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that they're getting the personnel files, the SEC of these previous employees. And Kotick's communications. So if there was anything involved with these communications, I mean, then that's going to be, he's going to be dust.
Oh, yeah.
If they find anything out, but we shall see. But I don't know, man. Yeah, I think it's probably likely that he might leave now.
The pressure
mounting, but we shall see. But
Either he'll leave or the stockholders and all them will force him out.
And also in the article, it says the investigation is not necessarily about finding justice for the victims of the horrible abuse, but instead about looking out for the company's investors who probably aren't happy about its recent cycle of bad news.
So, if you're an investor right now, you are fuming right now.
Oh, yeah.
Being like, if I was an investor, I'd be calling for heads. I'd be like, okay, you guys are all the high up guys.
Yeah.
How the fuck do we get rid of you? Like,
yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, you got, what is it? I think this week, is it, or next week? The release of the remaster of Diablo 2.
Diablo 2 came out 2 days ago.
So it came out. So basically, yeah, how well is that going to do? I mean, with all this news, it's probably not going to have too much of a difference. We were talking about this last week, but I don't know. Not good news for Bobby Kotick, that's for sure. When you have the feds breathing down your neck, then so, and I mean, he got
all these other losses.
He must have known about all this stuff going on, you know. He must have known.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's some emails joking, him being stupid enough to joke about this, being like, these dumb employees, just move them.
Yeah. So anyway, that that news came out earlier in the week. So the next story we want to talk about here, Perfect Dark reboot. So Burley, what did you think of the Perfect Dark reboot trailer when that came out? I mean, it was all cinematic. There was nothing.
I was going to say, like, refer back to you when you and I watched it live. We're like, okay. Because I remember when it happened, you're like, oh, this is Perfect Dark. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thing. But this actually surprised me that this news here.
Yep, Perfect Dark reboot, yes. Being co-developed by Tomb Raider developers Crystal Dynamics. Crystal Dynamics, of course, is a San Francisco Bay Area-based development company. So this is from George Yang over at GameSpot. The initiative has announced that it is partnering up with Crystal Dynamics to work on the Perfect Dark reboot. Crystal Dynamics was the studio behind the Tomb Raider reboot back in 2013. God, 2013. Man. So, it seems like yesterday, man. As well as other titles like Legacy of Kain and last year's Marvel's Avengers. Coincidentally, Daryl Gallagher, the studio head over at the Initiative, previously was at Crystal Dynamics. He was the head of the studio working on the Tomb Raider series. While at Square Enix, he also worked on games such as Rise of the Tomb Raider, 20th Year Celebration, and Deus Ex, Mankind Divided. So I've seen stuff, Burley, on the internet. Like, some people were talking about, well, why does the Initiative, you know, they were created to be a quadruple A development team. Why do they need to have somebody else coming in to support them? But then again, you know, Crystal Dynamics has been pretty damn good at what they do, especially with the Tomb Raider series. I mean, I would argue that Rise of the Tomb Raider is the best of the three rebooted games, you know, that they came out with. So to get them to be helping on this, I think this is pretty awesome. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I was surprised to see them helping out, but this actually now has me curious for this game.
Yeah.
What's wrong with getting help? And you know what? Crystal Dynamics has put a lot of work in and produced really good, really great games. I love Rise, what I've played. I loved Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Yeah. I know I'm in the minority on that one.
Yeah.
But.
And then you have those people out there that are, you know, worried that, you know, because Marvel's Avengers didn't do so well, they're like, oh no, you know, but I don't know. I think this is a completely different deal. I think, go ahead, Burley. Go ahead, man.
I was going to say, this is a whole different animal from Avengers, because they probably, you've got what Marvel's telling them, what Square's telling them, and all this and that, and they have to have this in the game, they have to have this. Whereas this is probably just a, okay, you guys are wanting to do Perfect Dark. This is what we've kind of done with Tomb Raider. Let's see what we can take from here. Show you what we've done here and see how this can fit in with Perfect Dark.
Do you think that Crystal Dynamics could be on Microsoft's radar for a acquisition?
They could be. I think they'll probably wait till Perfect Dark comes out, see how that gets received.
Yeah.
And then Microsoft tries the let's buy.
Yeah, because that's what was interesting when I read this. It's like, if Crystal Dynamics is helping them, maybe it's because they're negotiating an acquisition right now. And they're in maybe the middle to late stages of it. I don't know. This could be nothing, but who knows? I mean, you know, there's been rumors of all these different acquisitions, you know, Square Enix, you know, but Crystal Dynamics, I mean, that would be a great grab if Microsoft were to get them, I think. But who knows? But with them helping the initiative, I mean, yeah, it's a possibility, I guess. Yeah. Okay. So let's go ahead and move on. So, Burley, we had that Nintendo Direct.
Oh, yes, we did.
And I don't know if some of you people probably saw some of the stuff I posted on Twitter. I mean, just I was going off on some of the stuff. It was funny. But I mean, yeah, just I mean, anyway, I'll go ahead and get into it. So everything announced at the September Nintendo Direct, we'll go through some of it and then we'll discuss what we felt about it. So the first thing, Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak expansion. Of course, another Monster Hunter expansion. Who would have thunk it? You know,
well, that series makes way too much money. That didn't surprise me. That surprised me. It started the Direct, but I wasn't surprised that something like that would be in there.
Yeah. So the expansion is due out in summer of 2022. And that's what I was ranting about on Twitter, because this Nintendo Direct was supposed to be games coming out in the winter. And it's like, they start out the Direct with a summer 2022 game, which is probably not going to be summer 2022. It's probably going to be like probably in the fall, but I don't know, man.
Who knows?
Who knows? Next up, new look at Mario Party Superstars. So we got to look at the varied gameplay of Mario Party Superstars. Several new boards, all of which support online play, set to arrive on October 29th. So that's not the winter.
Well, so you knew they were going to show that. Like, you knew that and the other game that's coming in early October.
Well, it's like before you're Direct, the marketing people should say, okay, these are games coming out between now and next summer, you know, instead of just winter games, you know. So
October is winter in Japan, apparently, now.
I guess, but technically no, but
yeah. Well, I'm changing it, apparently. If Nintendo's gonna do it, then that's what it means.
Yeah. Next up, Voice of Cards, the Isle Dragon Roars was shown. So it's a new role-playing game with Square Enix, from Square Enix. It's designed to be a spin on tabletop gaming. So, like, you just see a bunch of cards and, you know, showing them flipped over. And it's coming to Nintendo Switch on the 28th of October. So what'd you think of this one, Burley?
This one could have
tabletop gaming, yeah.
This one could be good. I have not played any of these tabletop games.
Yeah. I'm not into
this. Could
those,
be good, but too. Yeah. Like, I was watching this on my phone and getting with my one buddy WhatsApp messages. So we're constantly WhatsApping each other between the stuff. And he and I were like, this is a thing, but there's like 15 other of these things out there if I wanted to look at Steam or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're into card games, I mean, this will be maybe for you, but I just,
yeah. Yeah.
And then next up, yay, Disco Elysium coming finally to Nintendo Switch. Yeah, so, of course, Disco Elysium, the final cut. Disco Elysium, of course, came out on PC first.
Yeah.
So it's launching for the Switch on October 12th. So, yeah, finally coming to the Switch, Burley. Yeah. And it's going to be a big seller, too, I think. It's going to make a lot of money.
Oh, that'll sell well.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Then next up, Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity DLC. Like, just more DLC. Yeah.
Yeah, well, everyone was kind of figuring that was like a kind of easy one because the last DLC for that game came out a while ago and they haven't said jack shit about the second DLC. So yeah. Nintendo, it's like Nintendo's thing. Okay, whenever we do a next big direct, we should say something about this.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's coming on October 29th. So, yeah. I haven't even played Hyrule Warriors yet. So,
play the original Hyrule Warriors. I have it for the Wii U. I loved it. I spent a good, with doing co-op on the extra modes with my one buddy, I probably put 40 to 50 hours in.
Wow.
I had a blast with that game. Age of Calamity, I tried the demo on stream, and anyone that watched that stream, you can just tell I was not into it because they slowed it so down. Like combat is so slow compared to the original. It's like if I'm playing a Dynasty Warrior style game, I do not want slow combat. I want fast paced action.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, Chocobo. Chocobo GP announced. So it's a Mario Kart style game, but in the world of Final Fantasy,
kind Woo! Of.
Chocobo GP delivers just that, and it's coming exclusively to Nintendo Switch sometime in 2022. So we didn't get a release date on that yet. So
who knows? Yeah. It could be February, March, which is technically still winter.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, Final Smash incoming. Nintendo confirmed that the final Super Smash Bros. Ultimate Fighter will be revealed on October 5th. This will complete the long list of characters available in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Which character is this going to be, Burley? Go ahead, your opinion.
Waluigi, okay. Just to troll people, because okay. They've used him to kind of troll with other stuff. But this is where me and my one buddy were kind of like... This started a trend later on in this direct of, hey, we're just going to give you a small tease. Come watch another event we've got coming in the next little while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys didn't want to announce the character, but you're trying to hype us. It's like, you could have given us a little more, or just to release the character and say, hey, at this event, you're going to see how they actually play and get some tips and tricks and when they're coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, Kirby and the Forgotten Land arrives in 2022. So this was leaked before the show. So pretty much everybody knew about this. So Kirby and the Forgotten Land has officially been announced for Nintendo Switch. It's set to arrive in spring 2022. So... yeah, I mean, another cute little game, you know, more Kirby. Yeah.
I love me Kirby, but this, they're finally doing something that people have been wanting for a long time. Like, the N64 game was 2.5D. We're finally going full 3D with this. I didn't see the link, the leak on this, because this leaked while I was at work, and work was crazy on Thursday.
Yeah.
But I'm all for this. This has me very interested.
Yeah, this Forgotten Land, it's like when you first start watching that trailer, it looks like some kind of zombie apocalypse type of situation. And then it's like Kirby comes out. It's like, come on, man. Yeah. Kirby the final meets boss. Last of Us. Yeah.
No. Kirby meets Thanos Zombie with the Infinity Gauntlet.
There you go. Next up on the list, Animal Crossing New Horizons update coming soon. So a specific Animal Crossing New Horizons Direct will air in October. So I think it was, didn't they say October 5th it was, I think.
I thought they're doing two directs on one day, which is
crazy.
Kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Because it's like, are you going to do both Animal Crossing and Smash? If you're going to do them both on the same day, why not just put them in this 40-minute direct?
Right. But anyway, the brand new content's going to appear in November. So they're going to have their direct in October. And we got a tease for Brewster and his coffee shop and Roost. So the Roost. Next up, Mario Golf Super Rush update came out. So Koopa Troopa. So Koopa Troopa in Japan, Noko Noko. And Ninji will be added as playable characters, and two courses added to Mario Golf Super Rush. So that's already been added now as of the time we record this episode. So, yeah.
Do you think Higami's going to get in there?
Maybe. Probably not, because Johnny's won't let him. All right.
Or is the next thing they ever show is them just whacking golf balls at Johnny's.
Yeah. You'll have, listeners out there, if you don't know what we're talking about the character from Lost Judgment. We're going to be talking about that game later on in the episode, but So Yagami and Kaito. Yeah. Okay, next up, Disney Magical World 2 Enchanted Edition. So interact with Disney characters, in a lot of games, and explore magical worlds when it comes to Nintendo Switch this holiday season. So more Disney characters, yeah. So, yeah. And the next one here, I mean, this one I kind of freaked out about, because it's like, who's going to play this on Switch? KOTOR comes to the Switch. So port of the original Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic is coming to Nintendo Switch. So not interested. I don't know. What about you, Burley?
I know my one buddy will pick this up because he bought the game on mobile to play it on his phone. So, and he loves his Switch. So for him to play it portable, but for me, it's like, as great as more people get the ability to play the game.
Yeah.
You need to remember, in a few months, you can get this, you can get the Steam Deck, and you can get that game probably for about like $3 to $5.
Yep.
Right? Yep. So you can play it on the Steam Deck on the go.
Yep.
And you can mod it on the Steam Deck. Guaranteed you can't do all the mods, because like, I know there's a lot of mods for KOTOR to do different things.
And I'm really interested to see how much Switch is going to charge for this.
it'll be $19.99 American.
Yeah, I was going to say about $20. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, Dying Light 2 hits the cloud. So a cloud enabled version of Dying Light 2 Stay Human is coming to the Switch October 19th. So interesting there. So the cloud. It's the cloud.
I was going to say, I knew when that was shown, I'm like, okay, Expat's going to have something to say on this, because I know you've been looking forward to Dying Light 2.
Yeah, but I'm not looking forward to playing it on the cloud on a Switch. I mean, I love all you Switch people out there, and I love the Switch, but this just isn't the game that I'm looking forward to playing on the Switch. I mean, I'm going to play it on probably, you know, Xbox Series X when it comes out. So, and it's in February now, right? I think it was delayed to February. Yeah. I think we talked about that last week. So, yeah.
Just
next up, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're going to want to play this portable, Steam Deck, and then you'll always have to be online. That's the thing. Like,
yeah.
It's neat that they're doing that for the Switch, but because they have to do it the online thing, that's going to be so annoying, because you lose your internet connection
You're SOL.
Yep. Yep. Next up, Triangle Strategy coming in 2022. And I think we saw this before, didn't we? In a previous direct, I think they announced it. So
I had streamed this direct. This was the one where the first direct they showed this off was the one where they showed those two visual novel games that they were charging an obscene amount of money for. Gameplay wise, I enjoyed the demo for this game. Hate the freaking name. You're telling me Square can't come up with a better name than this? Like, that was the one thing my one coworker was like, seriously? And he says, I know this will be a decent, like, for anyone that likes those kind of games, will enjoy, but that is stupid that they can't change the name. And I'm like, I would have thought they were going to.
Mm-hmm. This game kind of reminds me of Octopath Traveler.
Yeah. It's got the art style of Octopath, but is like gameplay wise, like Fire Emblem, Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah.
But demo had a few little problems. Like, I liked when they were showing it and they were like, we took your feedback. We did this, and did improve some stuff, which is nice. I just don't think I'm going to pick this up right away.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to probably want to spend the time right away to put, 30 hours or whatever it's going to take me to go through the game. But the game does have me interested.
Yeah. And it comes out March 4th, 2022, and pre-orders have begun. So you want to pre-order that? Go for it now. Next up, Metroid Dread. So we got more Metroid, but I was really surprised the Metroid trilogy wasn't discussed, though. I guess they're not ready to do that yet. So,
makes sense. This is Nintendo.
Yeah.
You need to remember this.
Yeah. But anyway, Metroid Dread. So then they showed a new trailer for that. And then they showed, you can actually look up on Nintendo's website. They have some journal articles for certain areas of the worlds of Metroid Dread, I think it is. Kind of like some journal entries that you can actually look into. Those look pretty cool. Comes out in a little over a week, I think. October 8th, I think it is.
October 8th is when it comes out. I'm looking forward to this, but Nintendo has showed so much of this game and revealed a lot through trailers. Like, I haven't watched so much with trailers, just because that's the thing. You watch some of these trailers, I've been told, reveals a lot about the game. That's some of this I kind of would rather just play and be like, holy, this is in there?
Yeah.
Find out.
And then next up, of course, Nintendo Switch Online, Nintendo 64, and Sega Genesis games added to Nintendo Online. And then, of course, the controllers for $45.
That's for 45 maybe for you, 49 American. So that's a shit ton there. You talk about Canadian, that's let's punch you in the balls.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. So some Nintendo 64 and Sega Genesis games are coming to the Switch Online, matching Nintendo 64 and Sega Genesis controllers, also being produced. And of course, they'll be wireless. Yeah, go figure. I mean, some of the games, they had like close to 9 games, I think, for the Nintendo 64, and then Sega Genesis had like maybe 12 or 13 or something like that to start with. But and of course you can keep your existing subscription, or you can switch over to the new subscription, which they're probably going to charge you more. They didn't really talk about.
They said it is going to be a new tier with a higher cost. They wouldn't say the cost because they didn't want to piss people off.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But but it's coming though.
I didn't expect to see Genesis and 64. I didn't think we were going to get, because I thought they weren't going to be like, well, here's Mario 64 in it, or not have Mario 64 in it, because the whole Mario 35 anniversary collection.
Mm-hmm.
But they did it, and yeah. It's like, wow.
Yeah, I'm surprised that those Genesis games are in there. You know, Sega. You know,
yeah.
Sega and Nintendo, they used to be, you know, enemies. So, yeah, kind of interesting. But, and of course, in that collection, it's coming out for the N64 titles. Banjo-Kazooie is coming to, coming to that, expansion. So,
Yeah.
Good old Banjo.
Majora's Mask is coming later.
Yeah.
My kind of thoughts, and sorry if this is a little mini rant, this is neat to see. We shouldn't have to pay more, in my opinion, because here's the thing. Nintendo has been horrible with dripping out games on this. They start good for the first 3 to 4 months, and then just quit. And then once every blue moon. So I don't want to pay
more. Early, it's Nintendo, man. Come on. You should know this.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Nintendo. This is my worry that of why would I want to pay more for this? And you know what? I'm going to get 10 to 15 games, and then there's other ones I'm going to be wanting that should be on there where we're never going to get. Because it has me now, I was originally going to buy that Mario Party thing. And it's like, well, is Mario Party 2 and 3 going to come on this? Because if they come with online play, fuck it. I'm not going to spend $90 on Mario Party.
Yeah.
I'll just wait for this.
And then watch. Next year, they're going to do the same thing for GameCube. They're going to start putting GameCube on there. They're going to create a whole new tier. I would have thought
they would have done GameCube.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after that, they're going to do Wii and then Wii U. You know, they're just going to keep adding tiers to it. And you're going to have to pay more money. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, let's go ahead and move through the rest of these. Trilogy.
I was going to say, how much ahead, of really. An increase do you think it's going to be?
$10.
I was going to say 50%. Because and their justification is, we're giving you two new consoles.
Yeah. I don't know. We shall see. But, So Shadowrun Trilogy arrives on Switch. It's coming soon. And Castlevania Advance Collection was announced. So Castlevania Advance Collection is announced, and it's available now. It includes 4 games: Castlevania, Circle of the Moon, Castlevania Harmony of the Dissonance, Castlevania Aria of Sorrow, and Castlevania Dracula X. So those are coming.
Dracula X, the Super Nintendo remake version of Rondo of Blood, was included with these 3 Game Boy Advance games. I guess they were just like, we didn't include this in other collections. Let's just throw this here. I've heard the collection is quite good. I am looking at it, but it was the world's worst kept secret because it was being shown as like rated all over. All over the world by like in Brazil and all these other places.
ActRaiser Renaissance available now. So that was shown, as well as Deltarune Inbound. So chapter 1 and 2 now available for the Switch, and a new look at Splatoon 3. So they showed more of Splatoon 3. So that's not coming until next year, of course, probably in the summer of 2022. Just more Splatoon. And then get this, the Mario movie coming in holiday 2022, and Chris Pratt is going to be Mario. Of all people, Chris Pratt is going to be Mario. What do you think of that, Burley?
That was an interesting one. He can be a good comedic actor, but once we got through more of the people that were announced, it was like, okay, this seeming like this is just going to be more of a comedy when we get through the later actors and actresses.
And then finally, Bayonetta 3. We got a cinematic trailer, so not really gameplay, But and it got a release window, so it's coming out sometime in 2022. I would probably imagine probably in the fall of next year. So yeah, just more cinematic stuff that's probably not even going to be in the game. What'd you think, Burley?
This I got bored by. I've never played any of the Bayonetta games. I've been told I have to, and they're great. One day, I know one of my regular viewers, I'm going to give him a shout out, Just For All Demo. Mm-hmm. He was really hoping to see this, so I'm glad he finally got this, because this game got announced years ago and we've seen nothing.
What, it's 2017, like, I think it was announced?
Yeah, 2017, 2018. It's like, yeah, they announced games too early.
Yeah, way too early on this. Yeah, but, yeah, I think Reggie was still at Nintendo during that time as the CEO. Yeah, so.
Yeah, Reggie but, was.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I don't know, man. Yeah, you see Tokyo, you know, downtown Tokyo, and of course getting all, you know, destroyed, you know, but it's just, and it shows right at the beginning of the cinematic trailer. It's like, this is, you know, not real gameplay footage.
Not an engine and all that.
In an engine or anything. Yeah. So
I remember, just because, like, as I'm watching this, I'm getting the WhatsApp is going off, and we're just like, me and my buddy is, he's like, have you ever played these? I'm like, no. And he's like, does this make you want to? I'm like, no, this does not make me, like, I know you can access, I think the first game is on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make me want to go, oh my gosh, I need to go play Bayonetta 1 and then buy 2 and play it.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably going to be a great game. We'll see. But, and they're probably going to show gameplay next year. I mean, they probably just didn't have anything ready to show right now. So that's why they're showing just a bunch of the cinematic stuff. But yeah, we're going to get more of this. I mean, as we get closer to the release, they're going to show a ton more. So expect probably 2 or 3 more directs out of this Bayonetta 3.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, my pick for the game of the show for the direct was, Metroid Dread. I mean, I'm really looking forward to playing that. I think that was the one that stood out to me the most. What about you, Burley?
If you're going with just games that we actually know that are going to come out when, Metroid, but for me, the thing that stole the show was Kirby.
Oh,
I've been, I'm a huge Kirby fan. It goes Zelda, Pokemon, and Kirby are my top three Nintendo franchises.
Not so. Mario, huh? Wow.
No, I'm not as huge on Mario. Nothing against Mario.
Yeah.
But
cool. Yeah.
I'm looking forward, since they're trying something different.
Yeah.
For Kirby. So, which is nice.
Do you think we're going to see another direct anytime soon? Of course, we have the one for the Animal Crossing that's coming out the beginning of next month. But I mean, a full on Nintendo Direct. Do you think that was probably one of the last ones of this year? Or do you think we'll get another one?
We'll get a small direct in November, which is Pokemon based, because you've got they're going to try and set. They still want to remind you Pokemon Shining Diamond and Brilliant Pearl, or whatever the remakes are called, and remind you Arceus Legends is coming early 2022.
Yeah,
so they'll have that, but as like a main Nintendo Direct, I think this is the last big one. It's just a couple small specific tailored directs. I don't see anything coming December, because I don't think really Nintendo has anything in December.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that we got this direct so close to TGS. You know, who knows? They might have some surprises at TGS, but I don't know. We'll see. Okay, Burley, let's move on to the topic of the show. So, the trifecta towards the end of this month, of course. You know, Deathloop. You've been playing Deathloop, so I'm going to let you talk about Deathloop. Both of us have been playing Kena. Bridge of Spirits. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. And then I've been playing Lost Judgment. I started yesterday on it. So I have some things to say about it, of course. Ooh. But oh yeah. But I'll let you start because you've been playing Deathloop and you're close to the end of it. So, of course, for all of our listeners, this is a spoiler-free discussion. We're not going to spoil any of the like the main points of the game or anything like that. So don't worry. So, Burley, take it away, man. Deathloop, man, what do you think of this game? Of course, I'm going to wait until it comes out on the on Game Pass on the Series X, but you've been playing it on PlayStation 5. So what's your assessment of it?
My assessment is you're a smart man for waiting. I urge people to wait. The more I've played this game, my kind of opinions have gone down. Because,
So it's not a 10 out of 10.
No, this game is nowhere near a 10 out of 10. People are people. I think just because of like droughts of good games, people are clinging to give something a 10 this year. This is not a 10 out of 10. I'm enjoying the game. Don't get me wrong. There are a few little, like, you have to go certain things. If you want to play this game single player, you got to go in the options right away and turn off the offline, the Juliana invade thing setting to single player mode. So that
what happens if you don't?
If you don't, you can't pause the game.
Wow. Because
if you pause the game, enemies can still come up, shoot you.
Wow.
The person that invades your game can still come and kill you easily. So, like, I had found that, and it was, like, made the game a little bit more enjoyable for, like, when I'm playing on my own time, and I want to, like, I want to go stretch, go to the bathroom or whatever. Okay, I can pause here, and I know I'm not going to get killed.
And you did.
Yeah. Oh, I've died a lot in this game. I've died a lot. This game.
If
so, I'll let you go
back and you can go back and toggle that, right?
Yeah, you have to go in the menu.
Yeah, yeah. So
there's too much of I hate that I still can't. As I'm getting cool stuff during runs, I can't just go back, bring it. And with what I've collected and with what the amount of the residuum, which is the stuff you can infuse your gear so that way you can keep it for future runs. Yeah. If I find something cool on a run, but I don't finish the mission, I can't go back and bring it to the base and save it. It's still such a stupid concept because so many times I've gotten great stuff, but because I've got screwed in getting into giant firefights, and it's not... And I die and lose it. And it's like, well, that I lost a lot of great stuff. Now I'm going to go grind to get that.
Now I've heard in this game, the more that you die, the better you learn the system to be able to complete the runs through the next loops. Is that true?
Yes and no. Not like some stuff changes between each run. But a lot of it doesn't. But now certain things like, okay, I went through this one area. There were three mines here. Now they've placed a fourth. But now I remember there are mines here. I need to be careful, take them out with my silence gun, just so that way I'm not going to get blown to pieces.
Yeah.
But like enemy spots will change. So you can't just memorize it all the time.
Yeah.
Be like, I know where exactly these guards are and where they walk, so I can slip in. Because sometimes they will still be in the same spots, but now they're doing different patterns of where they're walking. So it's like,
I see.
Ah, crap.
What difficulty level are you playing on?
There is no difficulty level.
Really?
It's one difficulty for all. One
difficulty for everything. Okay. I see.
Yeah. Which can be fine. Don't get me wrong, but it's just like this was a game I was streaming and I cut it out for streaming because with the amount of stuff I've got to sit and do of thinking and stuff like that, it's too hard for me to, you know, I'm keeping up with chat, keeping the energy and everything. It's like, for other streamers that can do it, God bless. but this was just not a game I can do.
Just very, really hard to concentrate on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's concentrate. And then there are missions. This is a thing that pisses me off with the game is mm-hmm. when you find information and it tells you where to go
mm-hmm.
and gives you like the little indicator, this is where on the map you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always right.
Really?
Because I had one mission and people have said this mission is hard. The indicator uh-huh. told me it was on the left side of this base. Uh-huh. It was all the way on the right side.
Is that a bug?
I don't know if that's a bug or whatever it is. I've literally, for certain missions, I've just said, screw this. I'm pulling out my phone, getting the guide. Okay, this is where this is. Because it's just that. It's just that annoying. Wow. Like, I'm doing the last two missions to get the last two things I need, and then I can attempt to do killing all 8 visionaries in one run. I've killed them all at different times for different missions and gaining stuff. I am gaining better gear slowly, but it's just the matter of if I get cool stuff, I can't instantly go back, save what I've gotten, and then start a new loop. I'm hoping to finish in the next couple of days and then contact you, get some footage, and we do an extra take. This game's just taking a lot longer than I expected. So
Well, okay, let's talk a little bit about Kena, Bridge of Spirits. So, everyone, all you listeners out there, I've heard a lot of you in the past say Kena. Okay, well, in this game, the main character's name is pronounced K, like in the letter K, Kena. So, Kena Bridge of Spirits. This is so close to a Pixar type of game, Burley. I mean, the cinematics in this game are so Pixar. I mean, it's really beautiful. I mean, Ember Lab, who created this game, I mean, they were into like doing, you know, animation. And it really shows. I mean, such a beautiful landscape, and it's very similar to some of the landscapes out here in Japan, like in the forest areas of the game. There are some prefectures out here in Japan that are very foresty, just like that. And of course, the shrines and all of the spiritual elements of this game, it really stands out. And I'm really, really enjoying the story. I'm loving the story. The gameplay is fun. The only thing I don't like about the gameplay is all the jumping, you know, having to jump on the blocks all the time. Later on in the game, of course, you get the ability to where you can move boulders and things, and then you can jump on these boulders. But the problem is, when you jump on these boulders, it's like a time trial. You only have a certain amount of time, like 10 seconds, to jump on these boulders and get from point A to point B up onto the top of the cliff or something. And usually it's like boop, 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 and then just die, you know, fall down. So that's a little bit annoying. And I mean, it's funny how the climbing elements in the game kind of remind me of Uncharted. In a sense.
Oh, yeah, with the visual aesthetics and stuff like that, and the visual effects, I can totally get that.
Yeah. Combat is not too difficult. I mean, a lot of the bosses, I mean, once you
unless
have
you're playing on the higher difficulties.
Yeah.
Combat is tough.
Yeah, I bet. Oh. I'm playing on normal, so, I mean, it's not
too difficult. I was playing on the hardest one you can. Not the master, but the one underneath that, because you got to beat the game to get master. Yeah. And I turned that down shit after like the second or third boss, because I just kept getting wrecked. I'm finding the parry timing is very strict on that. I don't know. And the dodge roll, I'm finding dodge rolls helpful, but at the same time, if it's a wide attack, I prefer to jump, because I find I do better dodging with jumping.
Yeah. And I love the little rots in the game too. So as you progress through the game, of course, you collect more of these rots, and they're the they're the little characters that follow you around all through the game, and they help you in combat as well as opening up different parts of the world. So, yeah, those are really cute. So kind of the Pikmin aspect to the game, but yeah. So I don't know this. I mean, the character really reminds me because I was saying in my YouTube video that I created for this in the preview video, I was saying this game has a lot of Miyazaki elements to it. You know, the famous Japanese animator Miyazaki Hayao. And of course, one of his films from 1997, I think it was Mononoke Hime. That's in English, Princess Mononoke. And Kena really reminds me of Princess Mononoke a lot. So a lot of that style in this game. It's really pretty, and it's reviewed really well. And I'm a little surprised. I didn't think it was going to do so well in the review cycle, but a lot of reviews have been very positive on this game. But like we were talking about last week, it'll be interesting. We talked about this on the post show that the developers are still unsure if there'll be a next game in this series or not. But boy, what I've been playing of it so far, I really hope there is.
Me too.
It's a great game. Yeah, it's a great game. Is it game of the year material? Probably not. But I don't know. The story's up there, though. I've really enjoyed the story because Kena is a spirit guide, and she helps spirits find the way. And in that story, it's really heart moving some of the spirits that she's dealing with. But I don't know if this is going to be considered for a game of the year or not. But it's really good. It's a really good game. I'm really enjoying it. So
in terms of visuals alone, it blows away everything. Like,
yeah,
because I've played a lot of the other big releases this year, and this is the game visually wise beats everything. I am enjoying the story of where I've gotten so far.
Does it beat Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart though, visually?
That's a tough one. I think it does visually. Mm-hmm. Whether or not gameplay and story, I don't want to say till I finish the game, because then I can have a better criteria.
Yeah. Okay, so Burley, let me talk a little bit about Lost Judgment. So, of course, Lost Judgment is the second game in the Judgment series. Of course, it's modeled off the Yakuza series. Kimura Takuya, he's a famous actor here in Japan. He plays the main character of Yagami, and he has a sidekick, an ex-Yakuza named Kaito, and they have an investigation agency. In the game, of course, Yagami was a former lawyer. He still has a lawyer's license, but he left the lawyer profession to become an investigator. So he's investigating around Kamurocho, which is, of course, modeled after the actual part of Tokyo called Kabukicho. But in Lost Judgment, you're not only playing in Kamurocho, but you're also going to Yokohama, and a district in Yokohama called Isezaki Ijincho. The map of Yokohama it's pretty big. It's pretty massive. I just started. I finished the prologue last night, and it's more of what you get in Judgment. The combat style is like the Yakuza games of old, because Yakuza 7 started going into turn-based style combat, whereas before that it was not turn-based. It was just regular combat. So the Lost Judgment game is like Judgment. It's more along the lines of the Yakuza games from the beginning, original Yakuza through Yakuza 6. So the characters are just amazing. The new elements of this game, actually, Yagami-san actually can climb on buildings. in the prologue, you're investigating this college age kid that's basically working with these Yakuza punks in like an illegal gambling scheme. And so you have to get into this building, but basically the main guy in the front, the bouncer, won't let you in. So you have to go around the back and find another way into the building. So you have to climb up like on a bunch of pipes and get into the building through the windows and stuff. So climbing
better
elements
climbing
are in
controls.
This
better yes. controls yeah. than soccer. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Much, much better. And then of course, fighting styles, you have like, you have crane style, you have tiger style, you have snake style of fighting. And then of course there are many, many upgrades like there was in the first Judgment game. Yeah. And the characters, a lot of the characters from the first game are back. Of course, Yagami and Kaito, the main two characters, and the supporting characters, a lot of them are back. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a fun extension of the first game with a little bit of graphical improvements. During the dialogues, you actually see the full face of the characters now talking, you know, as like Yagami's dialogue comes up, you see Yagami's face and him actually talking. And then when Kaito's talking, Kaito's face comes up and he starts talking, you know. So, yeah. I just started chapter one after the prologue. And so basically you go to Yokohama and you meet a couple of the side characters that you were partners with in the first game, because they opened up their own investigative agency in Yokohama. So, and you're going there to help them on a particular case that's going to turn into the main investigative case of the game. So yeah, really fun so far. Really enjoying it. I highly recommend it. I'm playing it on PS5. So no hiccups, no bugs yet. So,
keyword yet.
Yet. Yeah. But when I played Judgment on PS5, you know, it was an upgraded version of the first Judgment game, but you know, I didn't have any problems on that. So, you know, I think, and the studio that makes this is a part of Sega, Ryuga Gotoku Studio. They're really good. So, I'm looking forward to playing more of it, and I'll have more to say about it in the upcoming episodes. So, good stuff. Yeah. So, hopefully, Kimura Takuya can figure things out with his talent agency, or either that or dump the talent agency and continue to work with Sega. And depending on how this story goes, who knows?
You never know.
I just started the game. You never know. Who knows what might happen to Yagami-san in the story. But looking forward
from
to playing
what
more
you've
of
played,
it.
Would people that have not played Judgment,
the first game,
would you be able to jump into Lost Judgment and know what you know, yes, kind of understand if you haven't?
Yes, okay. Because in the prologue there is the backstories of the main characters. It doesn't talk about the investigative story in the first game, but it gives you a background of the characters so that you can move forward. So yes, you can play the game from Lost Judgment. So yeah, they give you a pretty good background of, you know, like Yagami from the first game, as well as Kaito and some of the other supporting characters. So, I mean, you can definitely play this without having played the first Judgment game.
I plan to get to Judgment someday, the original.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great game. The story is really riveting and, you know, it's pretty powerful stuff. So, and you get to see and learn a lot about Japanese culture in this game, too. So, and in Lost Judgment, cool. it seems that they're going to be going into bullying, which in Japanese, out here we say ijime. So it's bullying and how it affects, you know, students here in Japan. So I think in the game, Yagami's going to have to go to a high school and kind of investigate some of the bullying that's taken place, because it has some type of effect on the main investigation of the story, the murder mystery. So good stuff, man. Yep. So that was our discussion of the end of September trifecta of games. Yeah. So September has turned out to be a pretty good month. I mean, of course, we didn't mention also earlier in the month, of course, Life is Strange True Colors was another great game that came out earlier this month. But yeah, I mean, just in these last, you know, kind of like week and a half, we've had these three big games come out. So wanted to talk about them. So, yeah, it's good stuff. All right, Burley, let's move on to the games, the new game releases for the week of September 27th through October 3rd. So this is from releases.com. So you can check out all these games on releases.com. So basically what Burley and I are going to do in this episode is we're going to just talk about some of the games that we would recommend for you. But this list is online. Once again, at releases.com. So you can check that out, and you can see all the games that are going to be releasing from the 27th through the 3rd and beyond. So, yeah. So the first game I want to talk about, of course, is Outer Wilds. Not the Outer Worlds, but the Outer Wilds. This is a really good game. Echoes of the Ire is coming out. So any of you who haven't played Outer Wilds, I really highly recommend it. It was on Game Pass too, as well. So it's coming out on PC, PS4, Xbox One. So a strange satellite photo that can't be explained. A new museum exhibit that marks the trailhead for one last journey into the wilds. Should you pull at the thread and unravel the solar system's deepest secret? Or is some knowledge better left in the dark? So, yeah. So this is coming out on the 28th. So I recommend this one because The Outer Wilds is really, really good. So it's called Echoes of the Eye.
I've always meant to try Outer Wilds, but I just got overwhelmed with other games. So that is one I'm looking forward to.
Okay. What's one that you recommend here, Burley?
One I recommend that is one I've never actually played, but I've been always wanting to play is that Toy Soldiers HD. Always missed out on that because I remember that was a 360 game. Mm-hmm. It's a 360 exclusive where it's tower defense. But one of the things was is as you're placing your towers, you can go on the towers yourself and aim them and start shooting down the enemies that are coming in.
Oh, cool.
It's coming to PC, PS4, Xbox One.
Cool. Burley, I'm sure you've played Centipede, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes. I way back in the day and in the arcades, I used to play Centipede a lot. So Centipede Recharged. It's coming to PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, and the Xbox One and Xbox Series X on September 29th. So blast bugs and chase high scores in this glorious revival of an old school classic, all while jamming to a heart-pounding original score by the Megan McDuffie. Play solo or tag in a friend or for local co-op across 3D unique challenges or the endless arcade mode. Yeah, so I loved playing Centipede back in the day, and of course in the Atari 2600, of course, you know, when I was a kid, loved playing that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. So Centipede Recharge. Is there another one you want to recommend? I remember when
Centipede first came out.
Early 80s. Yeah.
Nothing on that. I was kidding. I thought you would have said, bullshit, you weren't alive back then.
Well, Burley, you worked live back then. Come on, man. I think it came out back in 1982, I think it was, on the 2600, I think it was.
Yep.
Anyway, I was in junior high when it came out. Yeah. So.
Okay. My next pick is Ghost Runner, coming September 28th to PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox One, Xbox Series. Ascend Humanity's Last Remaining Shelter. Great Tower City. The tower is torn by violence, poverty, and chaos. Conquer your enemies and discover the secrets of superstructure and your own origin, and obtain the power to challenge the Keymaster.
Cool. One more I want to recommend, and this has already been out on PC. I think it came out a while back, maybe a year or two ago. It's called Insurgency Sandstorm. So for all of you shooter fans out there, Sandstorm is powered by Unreal Engine 4 and will be a major visual and technological upgrade to Insurgency. Although the game is being developed for console, it will stay true to its PC roots by ensuring the dedicated audience has a seamless transition to the new game. Sandstorm retains what makes Insurgency unique and challenging, bringing this experience to a new console audience. In addition to console support, Insurgency Sandstorm will contain some exciting new features, such as a new story mode and esports framework. The game is being built from the ground up with competitive multiplayer, console split screen, and single player in mind. The story mode will focus on a squad of characters as they face increasingly challenging chapters, from the invasion of Iraq in 2003 through the insurrection period and leading to the present day. So, yeah, comes out on September 29th for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Yeah. And I think, yeah. So I think it's going to be coming to the Series X as well. So
nice. Yeah.
Cool.
That surprised me when you say split screen, because that's still that for a lot of games now that are that used to would have split screen. Don't. It's like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. So anyway, it doesn't mention Xbox Series, but I would imagine it's coming to the Series X, Series S, as well as Xbox One. So,
and well, the PS4. It's there because of backwards compatibility. Yeah, it's just a matter of they won't have, you know, the Series edition where it has the more enhancements, better graphics, faster load time, and all that.
Right. Right. So, anything else, Burley? Is that about it?
Nothing really. The only one I could recommend is a stealth release that came out 2 days ago, was the Castlevania collection. Those are some great games. And it was nice to see that it's not a high price, only $19.99 US.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Okay. So that's going to do it for the new game releases. So, before we conclude the episode, I want to let everyone know where you can find me on social media. My general content creator site is at expat2020.live, and my YouTube channel for gaming and podcast content, Expat YouTube Gaming, is at youtube.com/expat2020gaming, and the podcast channel for gaming, entertainment, and pop culture is at youtube.com/TheArenaCitadel. My other social media links to Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, the Arena Podcast Discord server, and the podcast websites are at Linktree. That's linktr.ee/expat2020. That does it for me. Burley, where can people find you on social media, man?
You can find me on Twitter at BurleyManGaming. Please go check out there. I do have a little poll for up right now, just for the next couple of days, seeing I'm thinking of doing some changes for October, so I'm just trying to get some people's feedback there.
Is that due to like a lot of the horror games, like Spooktober?
Yeah, I'm calling mine Spookfest.
Cool,
Burley Spookfest. Yeah. But so I've got Burley some stuff Spookfest up there
with a lot of spiritual opium involved in.
Oh yes, they're my sponsor.
Yeah. All right.
But you can also find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/burlymangaming, where I'll be streaming a variety of stuff. I'm finishing up Kena, and then after that we're gonna go finish up a few games, and then into October we're gonna be doing some Phasmophobia, Alan Wake, Metroid Dread, cool. and some others.
Cool. And our other co-host, he's off in this episode, but Turnbase Carl, you can find him on Twitter at Turnbase Carl. So please go check him out there. So to end the episode, our indie recording artist spotlights. This week's spotlight is on Absalon. Absalon is a producer whose music takes you through a journey of complex, intense beats, mind-bending sound design, and contemporary neuro-funk sounds. With several releases to his name, including a full-length debut album and an EP with over 50,000 streams on SoundCloud, Absalon is a promising musical force. From his album titled Flare, and the song is called Autumn Feels. This has been The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, episode 55. I've been your host, Expat, along with my co-host, Burly of Burlyman Gaming on Twitch. And of course, our other co-host, Turnbase Carl, will be back with us next week. So we hope to catch you in the next one. So take care, everyone. Peace.